Bob Siegel Show on KCBQ is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Advertising Corporation and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Reoccurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found in his Washington Times column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for The Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but the churches you've encountered are so stuffy, so behind the times, especially when it comes to music and the art. Look at how the churches responded when rock and roll first came on the scene. Now, I understand your objection to church. I honestly do. I think you would find that much of that has changed. Many, if not most, evangelical churches these days have rock bands leading their worship services. That's partly due to baby boomers like me, the first generation to embrace rock and roll growing up and now running things. In any event, we certainly haven't shied away from music here on The Bob Siegel Show, although we're primarily a talk show. Almost once a week, I play at least one song in its entirety, and sometimes it is one of the golden rock oldies. I've always enjoyed that in its own right. I've also gotten a kick out of occasionally taking a trip down memory lane since KCBQ was once San Diego's leading rock station, but nobody has returned to this tradition more than or better than Mike Zuccaro, host of a very popular show, Saturday Nights on KCBQ, aptly named Saturday Night Sock Hop. I'm a big fan of Mike's program, and I'm honored to have him on my own show today as a guest. Mike Zuccaro, welcome to our program.
Bob, thank you so much. It's nice to be here. It is a pleasure.
It is a pleasure, and I thought we could give your audience, I know you interact with your audience when they call in to do a request, but this will give some of them a chance to maybe call in and find out what Mike Zuccaro is really like. If you'd like to give us a call, mine is the same phone number as Mike's on Saturday, 888, as he says it, 888-344-1170, or as I say it, 1-888-344-1170, same number either way. Now, let's see, Mike, you're 51 years old.
I am indeed 51.
Okay, I'm 57, so you have no idea how much that depresses me. I heard you talking about how old you were getting last night. I was saying, you don't know the meaning of that word, buddy.
But I exaggerate slightly.
It's interesting because being 51, I guess that still makes you a baby boomer, but you didn't grow up with the exact era of rock and doo-wop music that you're playing. So I'm curious as to what gave you that love. Because I know that doo-wop seems to be what you like the most. I know you play some other things, too. What gave you the love for that kind of music?
WCBS-FM in New York, when I was about 13 years old, when I first got attuned to what was going on the radio in New York, of course you had top 40 stations like WABC and WNBC and countless FM stations, but WCBS-FM in New York had just changed format from being an album-oriented rock station to being the very first oldie station in the country. And man, I just latched on to that. I mean, who knows what it is that motivates us, what type of music we like, but that was the first time that I heard so many of these great 50s and early 60s artists that I probably would never have heard otherwise. And while I grew up through the 70s, I was still listening to Top 40, but I really, really loved what WCBS-FM was doing because they had an appreciation for the roots of rock and roll.
Now, were they playing a wide variety? Because I know that a few years ago, I was still listening to the oldie stations, but I was getting frustrated because I felt like I was hearing the same 10. It was probably more like 100, but if you hear the same 100 all week long, after a while, it feels like you're only hearing 10. And I was going, we have so many good decades. I said, they're not even exhausting the 50s and the 60s, and you're hearing the same. Like if I heard If a Man Loves a Woman One More Time, I was going to hit the walls.
Buddy, I'm with you. I'm right behind you. When I first moved here 25 years ago to San Diego, I used to listen to KRTH. They had a considerably better format and other stations too. Now, you're right. It's like they have this minuscule playlist, very tightly controlled, and it's the same primarily 70s and some 60s things over and over again. Every once in a while, you hear a little Chuck Berry, a little Fats Domino, a little Jerry Lee, a little Richard. Every once in a while, but mostly anything pre-Beatles, maybe the Beach Boys. You just don't hear anymore. That whole dozen years of rock and roll from 50 through maybe 63, 64, 65, you just don't hear on the radio. And I can tell you why, because program directors are deathly afraid of the demographic that it might attract. They don't want anybody over 40 or 45.
And they never want to take any kind of risk, do they?
I don't think they are this least bit motivated to take any risk. I talked to program directors at a well-known station up in Los Angeles, and he told me that he had worked hard to get the playlist down, to get the demographic down at the 45. That's the only F word in broadcasting, 45. 40, 45. And by the time you're 50, you're not even counted. But I'm surprised from the phone calls I get, even from my board op Danny and his friends and his relatives who listen. They're all in their 20s and they've never heard a lot of this music before, except as background music and movies and so on.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes just for nostalgic purposes, if it's an okay song, one I didn't love, but it still takes me back to when I was in high school, I enjoy it. But a song that's just okay, that's played over and over again, is no longer okay. It becomes horrible.
No, the first 1,000 times, it's cool. Second 1,000 times, it wears on you. It really does. And there's no shortage of great music that could be played, and nobody but me, it appears, wants to play it on a regular basis. I'm very thankful to have the 2 hours I have on this station.
Now, do you know of anyone else even in the country that's doing a show like yours?
It's all over the internet. You can get this music all over the internet. You can get it on satellite radio.
But not on conventional radio.
Oh, back east. If you go to the stations back east in New York, northeast area, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Pittsburgh, and so on. Yes, I am not the only oldies radio show in the country, but I am the only person in San Diego and Los Angeles, AM or FM, to play this type of music on a regular basis. That's true.
Well, your show certainly does seem to have a good following, because I'm hearing people call in all the time.
Yeah, the response has been really good on the phone. We've had about 1,200 downloads so far on the website, SaturdayNightSockHop.com, which has all the old shows up. And that's how I could tell who's listening, by the phone calls I get every night. And also I get emails and letters and so on. But the phone response really tells a lot.
I was pretty intrigued to hear that. I guess most people are assuming you're playing these things off of the computer, but you're actually playing some of these off of a real, honest-to-goodness 45 player.
Oh, yeah. I brought my own turntable up here, and I would say maybe a quarter of the show comes off 45s and 78s, because originally I didn't have it on any other format. I didn't realize how much was available off YouTube and off the computer, and very frankly, it's nice just to be able to slip cue a 45 or an LP sometimes. If it's in good shape, it sounds pretty good.
Yeah, my old 45 collection was priceless to me. I wonder how many people in today's generation even know where the term flip side comes from, if they even know that comes from the old 45.
Flip side,
there's no flip side for a CD or an MP3.
That is true. Listen, what'd you do with your records, Bob? I'll go get them. Don't throw them out.
They're in my garage somewhere, although how fast I could find them.
Don't throw them out.
No, hopefully they'll be worth something one of these days, but they're priceless to me. Now, we were talking over the phone, and you were mentioning that a lot of the early rock artists were actually doing some gospel, which is kind of ironic, because the church had this volcanic reaction to rock music, almost like it was the devil's music. But weren't you telling me that Elvis and some of the others actually sang gospel tunes?
Oh, absolutely. Elvis was a big gospel fan, and he did several gospel albums. And it was always said that when he was home alone, or when he could just sing and play whatever he wanted at the piano, he played gospel. That is true. But there's no shortage of artists, both groups and single artists, who either got their start singing gospel or were exposed to it at an early age or sang in the church, and we'll get into that. But certainly if you go back to the early 1950s, I mean, Ray Charles and Sam Cooke and Dinah Washington, you know, Nat Cole, whose father was a preacher. I mean, there's one after Solomon Burke, the Chantels, the girl group in the Bronx, who grew up singing Gregorian chants in a Catholic high school. So many of these artists were exposed at an early age to religious music, whether it be in the Catholic Church or whether it be gospel. So that influence is undeniable in this music.
Okay, well, we want to hear some of them. Today is going to be kind of a hybrid between Mike's show and my show. So let's, what do you want to play for us first, Mike?
Well, I'll tell you what, just kind of in a rough chronological order, the first one I have lined up was done in the very early 1950s by a group called the Orioles, and I would definitely call this Roots of Rock and Roll. This is Crying in the Chapel. This is Sonny Till and the Orioles. I'm thinking this is 1951. I didn't have the year written down in front of me, and I don't have my usual reference books in front of me. But this is probably one of the very first influences of gospel in group harmony and doo-wop music. Not as R&B now, but I mean as as early rock and roll, let's say.
Is this pre-Chuck Berry?
Oh, yeah. Chuck Berry's 55,
So we're not 54. Even calling this rock and roll at this time.
No. The Orioles were one of the very first kind of a sweet-sounding doo-wop groups.
Okay.
But let's give it a listen. This is Crying in the Chapel, and you can definitely hear the gospel influence in this.
You saw me crying in the chapel. The tears I shed were tears of joy. I know the meaning of contentment. I am happy with the Lord. Just a plain and simple task. Go to pray. I prayed the Lord that I'll grow strong as I live from day to day. I searched and I searched, but I couldn't find no way on earth to find peace of mind. Now I'm happy in the chapel where people are of one accord. Yes, we gather in the chapel just to sing and praise the Lord. You'll search and you'll search, but you'll never find no troubles to the chapel. Get down on your knees and pray. Then your burdens will be lighted, and you'll surely find
as if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net.
Welcome back to our program. I'm here with the host of Saturday Night Sock Hop here on the same station, KCBQ, Saturday nights from 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock. If you would like an opportunity to talk to Mike Zaccaro, and, you know, when you're calling in on Saturday night, you mostly have time to request a song. If you'd like to talk to him, ask him any questions. We're talking about the influence of gospel in rock and roll. And, Mike, you had a very interesting conversation that you wanted to play for us. This was between Jerry Lee Lewis and Stan Philip. Tell us a little bit about that.
This is really interesting. Jerry Lee Lewis and Little Richard were probably two of the most tortured rock and roll performers. Jerry Lee Lewis had studied to be a preacher and always said that if he couldn't be a rock and roll performer, he wanted to be a minister, like his cousin who he grew up with, who was, of course, Jimmy Swaggart. Now,
I did not know that. I did not know he was cousins to Jimmy Swaggart.
Oh, yeah, that is true. And they grew up together. And
boy, I'd remove that from my resume. Even though I do a religious fan, I must say I'm actually not a Jimmy Swaggart.
Jimmy could not convert Jerry. And he's
I wasn't
still
a fan even before the scandal with Jimmy Swaggart, I should say. I don't watch those televangelists. Radio evangelists, they're wonderful. But televangelists never had any use for
them. Well, that family had the piano playing gene. There's no doubt about it. But Jerry Lee Lewis actually studied to be a minister for a while in Waxahachie, Texas. He went to a Bible Institute down there, but he knew that the ministry was not for him. And he never really could, I shouldn't say never, he had a very difficult time resolving the fact that he was a Christian, and yet he had, as you will hear in a minute, the devil in him, which allowed him to play worldly music. This is his quote. Anyway,
so he actually himself thought it was the devil in him doing it?
Yes, and you will hear this. And so this is a conversation that was recorded, just some studio conversation between Sam Phillips, who ran Sun Records, which was the label that Jerry was on, along with Elvis Presley and along with Johnny Cash and along with a lot of other artists, and Jerry Lee Lewis and Sam Phillips. And it's only about 4 minutes. You'll hear some drums in the background, and it's a little bit off mic, so you have to listen carefully. But it's a really, really interesting insight into what performers were going through, particularly people who had been raised in the church or in the religious area, like the Baptist Belt, where Jerry Lee came from, I'll think of it in a minute. Give this a listen. Tell me what you think.
H-E-L-L.
God, the mighty great
cauldron
fire.
That's right. Man, it says, make merry with the joy of God only. But when it comes to worldly music, rock and roll,
rock it out,
anything like that, you have done brought yourself into the world, and you're in the world, and you hadn't come from out of the world, and you're still a sinner. And then you're a sinner, and unless you be saved and born again, and be made as a little child, and walk before God, and be holy. And brother, I mean, you got to be so pure. Now, no sin shall enter there. No sin. For it says no sin. It don't say just a little bit. It says no sin shall enter there. Brother, not one little bit. You got to walk and talk with God to go to heaven. You got to be so good that it's better. I'm telling you what I know.
Hallelujah.
All right.
You're right.
Now look, Jerry. Religious conviction doesn't mean anything resembling extremism. All right. You mean to tell me that you're going to take the Bible, that you're going to take God's word, and that you're going to revolutionize the whole universe? Now listen, Jesus Christ was sent here by God Almighty.
Right.
Did he convict? Did he save all of the people in the world?
No, but he tried to.
He sure did. Now, wait just a minute. Jesus Christ came into this world. He tolerated man. He didn't preach from one pulpit. He went around and did good.
That's right. He preached everywhere. He preached
everywhere.
On all the land.
That's right.
He preached
That's
on
exactly
the water.
Right.
Now, and he done everything.
Now,
he healed.
Now here's the difference.
Are you following those that heal? Like Jesus Christ
what you
did?
You, what?
Well, it's happening every day.
What do you mean?
The blinded eyes are open.
Jerry.
The lame are made to walk.
Jesus Christ.
The cripple of made
Jesus
the wall.
Jesus Christ, in my opinion, is just as real today as he was when he came into this world.
Right, right. You're so right. You don't know
what I would say. I would say more, sir. Because you see. No, we're going to wait here in a minute. We're going to do that right. But look. Now listen. I'm telling you out of my heart.
Well,
and I have studied the Bible a little bit.
Well, I have too. I've studied it through and through and through.
But listen,
through
Jerry.
I know what
Jerry,
about.
When you think that you can't do good, be a rock and roll exponent.
You can do good, Mr. Phillips. Don't get me wrong.
Wait a minute. I say do good.
You can have a kind heart.
I don't mean.
You can help people.
You can save souls.
No. 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 No.
Get it. You'll never make it.
How can the devil save souls?
Devil ain't gonna save it.
What are you talking about?
Devil.
Man, I got the devil in me. If I didn't have, I'd be a Christian.
Well, you may have it.
Jesus healed this man. He cast the devil out. The devil says, where can I go? He says, can I go into this swine? Now, he said, yeah, go into him. Didn't they go into him?
Jerry, the point I'm trying to make is, If you believe what you're seeing, you got no alternative whatsoever.
Listen, Philip, I don't care. It ain't what you believe. It's what's written in the Bible.
Well, wait a minute.
It's what you believe, Mr. Phillips.
No.
It ain't what you believe. It's just what's there.
If it's not what you believe, then how do you interpret the Bible? How do you interpret the Bible if it's not what you believe?
Well, I
was on me. Well, I mean, there's some people you can't tell them because they don't
have to believe. That's good, man.
No, you've got to make Christian.
You can talk.
Now here's the thing
you
that you're preaching.
Well, if you're just tuned in, that was an unusual thing to hear. If you were just driving and turning your radio on, that was Jerry Lee Lewis talking with Stan Phillips. So you heard doors closing. I'm sitting here with the host of Saturday Night Sock Hop, Mike Zuccaro. Now, Mike, did they know they were being recorded?
No, I don't think they knew they were being recorded. Sam Phillips usually ran the tape machine, but he had another engineer. And something tells me that, I mean, obviously this was taken during a recording session between some
tunes. How did that become public domain? I mean, is Jerry Lewis okay with that?
Well, it's on the latest Jerry Lee Lewis compilation CD. And I think at one time it was actually released on an album somewhere because it's really unique.
So Sam Phillips was the head of a record studio there?
Sam Phillips ran Sun Records. Sun Records was in Memphis, Tennessee, and it was the label that Jerry Lee Lewis was on in the early 50s. It started out actually as a recording studio, and then Sam started Sun Records and started recording local artists, one of many of which was Elvis Presley, and then Jerry Lee Lewis came from Faraday, Louisiana. That's a town I was trying to think of. And other artists came there because he would record people and had distribution for his records and so on. And by that time, 1958, when that was recorded, Jerry Lee Lewis had been on that label for a year, and he already had a whole lot of shaking going on, and he had a couple of hits under his belt. He was doing really, really well, and he was still fighting. He was still trying to resolve, I don't know, you want to call it good and evil, heaven and hell, salvation and damnation? I don't know, but he was still working through that in his mind.
So Phillips was trying to tell him it was cool to be singing that, and Jerry Lewis was saying, my conscience is bothering me because when I sing rock and roll, I'm singing the devil's music.
I've got the devil in me. If I didn't have the devil in me, I couldn't play this music. And as he says at the very end, you know, help me. Some people just won't listen. I guess they never could resolve
it. My fellow Christians, I love you dearly, but throughout history, Christians have done some of the stupidest things. The idea that a certain beat in music automatically makes it of the devil. Anyway, let's move on. Let's play another gospel song.
Okay. How's about this? You know, this is... Let's talk a little bit about Sam Cooke. Sam was a tremendously popular singer in the 1960s, but before he sang secular music, starting as a child, he sang gospel music. He was later in his life, in his early 20s, he was with a group called the Soul Stirrers, and they recorded prolifically for Specialty Records, you know, just one gospel tune after the next. But around 1956, 57, Sam decided that he was going to give a shot at secular music. And we're going to play something now that, would you like to play one of his gospel tunes and then one of the secular tunes, or right into his very first secular tune?
Let's start with the secular tune, then we can do the gospel tune.
Okay. This is a tune called Lovable. This was from December of 1956. It was his very, very first non-gospel outing, and I believe the Soul Stirrers are actually backing him up on this. We'll play Lovable because after that we'll play another tune, which is a gospel tune called Wonderful, which was recorded just shortly before that, on which Lovable was based. So this is before he was on Keen Records. This is before he had all those hits on RCA. This is from 1956. This is Lovable. It's cut number 21, incidentally, on that CD. He might be queuing it up. I don't know if I told him.
Do we have that all set, Todd? Here we go.
My girl, she's lovable. She's lovable. My girl, she's so lovable. Candy sweet and honey too. There's not another quite as sweet as you. I know I'll always love you. You're so lovable. I know she's a lovable. Yes, she is. I know. she's lovable.
Lovable.
Oh, yes, she is.
Lovable.
I know she's lovable.
Lovable.
My girl is lovable.
Lovable.
Yes, she is.
Lovable.
Fascination is her middle name.
Ooh.
To my heart, a sensational thrill she brings. Whoa, whoa. I know she's lovable.
So lovable.
Whoa, whoa. I know she's a
lovable.
Yes, she is. I know she's lovable.
Lovable.
Oh, yes, she is.
Lovable.
I know she's lovable. And I know she's lovable. Oh, yes, she
lovable.
Is. Oh, she's just an angel. A sweet little angel to me. When I'm without her, I know I'm in misery.
Hey, you've been listening to Sam Cooke on the Bob Siegel Show of all places, but that's because my guest is Mike Sicaro from Saturday Night Sock Hop. And you were telling us about how Sam Cooke began doing gospel music. So we started with one of his secular pieces.
We did indeed. We played his very, very first secular recording. By the way, that was released not under Sam Cooke, but under the name Dale Cooke, because Sam knew that his gospel fans would consider what he was doing blasphemous. And indeed, he was booed off the stage when he started recording secular music. But that tune that we just heard was taken directly from a gospel tune that we're going to hear right now. It's cut number 12 off that CD. Listen to it carefully. This is wonderful. And compare these two tunes.
Wonderful, God is so wonderful. He's wonderful, God. He's so wonderful. The Lord is my shepherd, he's my guide. Whatever I need, the Lord will provide. And praise my God's name, I know he's so wonderful. And whoa, he's wonderful. And I really believe the Lord is wonderful. Yes, he is. Whoa, he's wonderful. I know the Lord, he's so wonderful. Yes, he is. And whoa, if you never tried God, try the Lord one day and see what my Father come down and make a way. And whoa, and oh, I can't help but love God. He's so wonderful. And oh, and oh, he's a, yes, he is. And I know the man is wonderful. Yes, he is. Whoa, he's wonderful. I know the Lord, he's so wonderful. And oh, Lord. Whoa, he's been my mother, been my father too. There's no limit to what my Lord can do. And whoa, oh, oh, I love God. He's so wonderful.
This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric Incorporated, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Mankind, dead kings, many things I can't define. Old Cajun spots, wagons, clutter your mind. In the sense of temperaments, the color of time. Who cares what game?
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. I'm honored to be joined by Mike Sicaro, the host of Saturday Night Sock Hop. That's on from 9 to 11. Now, Mike, a lot of times when people hear us, people like us on the radio, they just assume it's our full-time job and full-time career. But that's not actually what you do for a living. What is your full-time career?
My full-time business is I'm an audio technician. For about 20 years, I have done nothing but high-end stereo and audio repair, and I've been an electronics guy all my life. Audio Craftsman is the name of my business.
Well, it's at least a related field then.
So. I love music.
Yeah.
If you love music, you like hi-fi, it ties in.
Now, have you ever done any singing or composing yourself or play any instruments?
No, I've been fighting the piano for years. I'm not a singer or anything. I have a face for radio, and that's why I'm here.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Your face doesn't look that bad to us, but if you say so. Now, this was fascinating when we were talking about Sam Cooke. He changed his name to Dale Cooke because if his gospel singer fans heard him doing a secular piece, they would have accused him of doing the devil's music. That is so outrageous. It's almost hard to believe that that once went on. In as much as rock bands are such an integral part of church worship today, times have really changed.
Oh, yeah, but we're talking now. 1956 now. Things were much different. Even Ray Charles. By the way, Sam Cooke only changed his name for that one release, I think. But even Ray Charles, when he remade a gospel tune into his first big secular hit for Atlantic Records, I read in his biography that he had a couple of his background singers walk out because they thought it was blasphemous that he would take a gospel tune and remake it into a secular tune.
So now they weren't saying there was anything wrong with secular tunes. It's just that they didn't want to see them mix? Or would they have also said that secular tunes are just...
I don't know. I kind of think of Mahalia Jackson, a very talented singer, but she would not sing secular music. She could have sang with Duke Ellington, but she would not do it. She would not sing secular music. So I don't know. Some people felt more strongly about it than others. I ask you, do you think this still goes on today?
Oh, in some places, certainly. Because with church history, there's always, in every era we've ever lived for the last 2,000 years, there's a little church somewhere holding on to that era. Does it go on in general today? No. In general, evangelical churches have grown up with music and the arts. I was a drama major in college. I graduated San Jose State with a degree in theater. My roommate had a book. It was an older book, but it was on his bookshelf, saying that theater, dancing, and card playing were of the devil. And this was my actual major. So okay. It staggers the imagination.
But that's real hardcore fundamentalist stuff.
Yeah, and there are some real hardcore fundamentalist churches that would still... I know there are pastors to this day that would say that music with a certain beat comes from Satan. They'll tell you it has a hypnotic effect. Now, I'm a Bible-believing Christian. I do believe there's a spiritual warfare. I do believe that demons are actual beings. I know some people don't believe that, and I respect that. But the battle is over our character and our ethics and the way God wants us to treat people. God just doesn't lose sleep over music. And in church, it's so interesting because I've seen churches split because different people didn't like the kind of music. Not necessarily over rock and roll anymore, but they'll argue about posture or whether some people like it when you lift your hands while you sing and some people don't like it. And music is so much a matter of taste people get this idea in their head that if it's a taste that they like, then somehow that must be God's way of doing things. The arrogance is pretty amazing.
All right. Okay. Well, I was just kind of wondering if it still kind of went on.
In places, but in general, if you go to most evangelical churches, you'll actually see a rock band. Now, while we're on that subject, I know there's rock has become kind of a generic word. Rock and roll was actually just a certain era. Like, you play a lot of doo-wop. Would doo-wop have been considered a part of rock and roll, or would it have been considered something separate from rock and roll?
Absolutely. Doo-wop is one of the cornerstones of rock and roll. In fact, I have a great book called Doo-wop, The Forgotten Third of Rock and Roll. And all the great group harmony stuff, all the great vocal groups, all through the 50s. Some reason today seemed to get short shrift, except on my show.
There was such a creativity with doo-wop.
You know, it wasn't just the Platters. There were tons of great doo-wop groups and vocal groups, up-tempo and slow stuff. And no, it absolutely is one of the cornerstones of rock and roll. I'm glad to play as much of it as I can.
Okay. Well, anyway, we're continuing looking at artists that did gospel songs. Who do you have for us next?
I'll tell you what. I'm going to play something next for you by Faye Adams. The tune is called Shake a Hand. It was recorded back, I think, 1954. The reason I'm going to play this is if you listen to the lyrics, this is a very ambiguous tune. It could be a secular tune. It's clearly a gospel influence, but if you listen to the lyrics, it's hard to tell, is this woman singing about a love affair with a guy, or is she actually asking for some spiritual help from God?
Do you happen to know, have you read enough to know what her, has she ever said what her intentions were behind it, or has she always left it up to the imagination?
No, the tune was not written by her. She just liked the tune, and she sang it, and it was an enormous hit for Faye Adams, and actually in the R&B field, it was not really a rock and roll hit, but it was a seminal record, and it was, I think, the first big hit for Faye Adams. We've played it a few times on the show. I'm proud to play it here. This is Shake a Hand by Faye Adams. Listen to the lyrics.
Just leave it to me. Don't ever be ashamed. Just give me a chance.
If you enjoy listening to The Bob Siegel Show, check out Bob's daily blog on townhall.com. Bob is also a regular contributor for San Diego Rostra and San Diego Newsroom. And don't forget his website, www.bobsiegel.net. Here, you download past radio shows, read Bob's many articles about Christianity, and get information about Bob's books. That's www.bobsiegel.net. BobSiegel.net.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. I'm joined with the host of Saturday Night Sock Hop, Mike Zuccaro, heard every Saturday night from 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock here on KCBQ. Now, Mike, a few weeks ago, I heard you say that next week will be your last show. And then after that, I was very heartened to hear that it was not your last show. So what can people do to keep you on the air? You need sponsors.
Well, sponsors would be great, and I'm working all the time on trying to find sponsors. I have a pretty good deal with the station insofar as that the time they're cutting me and the price they're giving me, I'm still coming out of my own pocket. I don't think I've had a week yet where I've broken even. But if anybody out there would like to buy a little time or sponsor the show, please contact me, MikeZ@SaturdayNightSockHop.com. That's how you can get to me on the website. I even have a little click thing on the website if you want to kick in a few bucks, you want to contribute a few bucks. Everything that comes in keeps that show going. You know, I'm really trying hard. It's been going month to month. Johnny James, who was a listener, picked up the whole month of January. We have another guy that came in last night, Arnie Rosenberg, and he picked up a few weeks, courtesy of the San Diego Repertory Theater. If I got to do it PBS style, I'll do it PBS style, but it's too good to let it go.
Yeah. Well, the only difference is that the only time PBS shows a concert is when they're raising money, but you do a concert every Saturday.
Whatever it takes, man. Whatever it takes.
Now, we've been talking here about the gospel and rock and roll. Who do you have next for us?
Okay. Well, by the way, on the Faye Adams tune, it's a powerful tune and very hard. I never could tell if it was a secular tune or not.
Yeah, it was interesting. It seemed to be straddling the fence.
It really does. There. If you listen to the lyrics, you don't know which way it goes. But I want to play this Ray Charles tune. Now, Ray Charles recorded back in the 1940s. He was a big fan, actually, of Nat King Cole, and early on his style was in the style of Nat King Cole. But he came across a gospel tune that he rewrote into a secular tune, which became his first big hit, which is I've Got a Woman. The original tune, I believe, was called Jesus is the World to Me by Alex Bradford, which I think was on Specialty Records, which I don't have. But if you listen to I've Got a Woman by Ray Charles, the gospel influence is just abundantly clear. So give this one a listen. This was his first big hit, and tell me this is not a gospel-based tune.
Well, I got a woman way over town that's good to me. Oh, yeah. Say, I got a woman way over town good to me. Oh, yeah. She give me money when I'm in need. Yeah, she's a kind of friend indeed. I got a woman way over town that's good to me. Oh, yeah. She says a loving early in the morning just for me. Never grumbles or fusses, always treats me right. Never running in the streets and leaving me alone. She knows a woman's place is right there now in her home. I got a woman way over town that's good to me. Oh, yeah. Town. That's good.
good to me. Oh yeah, I don't know she's alright. I don't know she's alright. She's alright, she's alright.
Looking to build your own website without a lot of cost and trouble? Hi, I'm Bob Siegel, here to tell you about Web Studio. Web Studio allows people to create their own websites simply and easily without knowing HTML. With Web Studio, you avoid the learning curve of front page and the expense of a web designer. Web Studio has 14 different galleries that contain graphics, sounds, and everything else you need. For more information about Web Studio, go to webstudio.com. Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Our theme, Christianity and its relationship with politics and pop culture. It's a pop culture edition today for sure, and also a pop culture edition next week. You're going to be amazed at my guest next week. For those of you who grew up, and I'm sure that those attracted to today's show are the baby boomers, but you wouldn't have even had to have been a baby boomer to grow up with I Love Lucy, because the show's been repeated 50,000 times. And the person who played Little Ricky on I Love Lucy is going to be here as a guest. A lot of people think that was Desi Arnaz Jr. No, Lucille Ball became honestly pregnant with Desi Arnaz Jr. And then they decided to have the character Lucy Ricardo become pregnant at the same time. But the fellow that played Little Ricky and played the drums, that was not Desi Arnaz Jr. You'll find out who he really is next week on the Bob Siegel Show. But today I'm honored to have Mike Zuccaro with Saturday Night Sock Up. And Mike, one of the things I've loved on your show is you found those old KCBQ jingles. I've gotten a real kick out of listening to those.
Yeah, that was neat. I was glad to find those. There are people out there who do nothing but sell old jingles, and those are some of the oldest ones I could find. There's tons more, but a lot of them have the names of old disc jockeys and drop-ins and so
on. Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's just a lot of fun to have that reminiscence of KCBQ and the LG. I think we have time for two more songs. What are we going to do next?
We do. I'll tell you why. By the way, I just wanted to mention the tune that Ray Charles tune was based on, Jesus is the World to Me. I don't have it with me, as I said, but the line in there that it starts is, there's a man going round taking names. And Ray, of course, rewrote that into, there's a, I've got a woman way across town. She's good to me. Obviously a secular tune when you listen to the lyrics, but I assure you, based on a gospel
tune. Based on a gospel tune originally.
Okay. Well, we do. If we've only got a couple more, and if we've got time for a couple more, okay.
I think we have a phone call coming in too. But go ahead and set up this song, and then we'll take the phone call.
This is James Brown. Please, 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 please. James Brown was not a gospel artist, but this is definitely a gospel-style tune.
Let's play James Brown, then we'll go to the phones.
Please, please, please. Yes, the dark of my head.
Don't go.
That was James Brown. This is Bob Siegel with Mike Sicaro of Saturday Night Sock Hop. We did have a call, but I don't know. James Brown might have scared him away. I don't know. At least in his own day, that was considered very scary music. Seems pretty benign to me. But we do have time for one last song, one last rock gospel singer. Who do you got for us, Mike?
Okay, this is actually one of my favorite groups of all time. This is a group that's not heard too often. This is the Five Keys, and they were on Capitol Records, one of the few doo-wop groups to make it onto a major label. And this is I Dreamt I Dwelt in Heaven. These guys were the pride of Newport News, Virginia, and this is one of my favorite Five Keys tunes. I play it myself on the show every once in a while. I'm going to nail you with this one because this one knocks me over every time I hear it.
Do 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 do. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Do do do. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I dreamt I dwelt in heaven and walked among the stars. From Jupiter to Mars.
Whoa.
I thought the clouds a staircase that reached up in the blue. On top there stood an angel with a face that looked so much like you. I heard a choir of angels sing. In the distance I heard a voice say, pray take this lovely angel, she's yours. So clear, I dreamt I dwelt in heaven because you came from there.
This is Bob Siegel with Mike Sicaro from Saturday Night Sock Hop. Mike, we're coming down to our last couple of minutes. This was fascinating, this time in history when rock music was viewed by most churches as songs of the devil, and yet a lot of the rock singers also sang gospel songs, and some of them got into trouble, and yet these days we have rock bands leading our church worship services. Times have really changed, haven't they?
Times have changed a lot, and even back in the 50s, churches used to have mass burnings of rock and roll records and comic books, too, I'd like to point out. And I think maybe that's, does it still go on today real quick, Bob? I don't know.
In a few places, at least, everything still goes on, but I'm happy to say that for the most part, that does not go on anymore. Mike, one more plug for your show. You need advertisers. What's your website?
SaturdayNightSockHop.com. We'll get you on. You get all the old shows. You can also contact me at MikeZ@SaturdayNightSockHop.com. Bob, thank you so much for having me on. We have barely scratched the surface of this subject, but it's been a lot of fun. Maybe we'll do it again sometime.
It was a blast. I'd love to have you on. And actually, oddly enough, my own show gets repeated right after Saturday
Indeed
Night Sock
Hop. Indeed
it
does. You will hear this show again next Saturday night.
So it'll
night
sound like
o'clock.
3 hours of Saturday Night Sock Hop this Saturday. You'll hear Mike's regular show, and then you'll hear him again on my show.
Yep.
All right. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Take care of yourselves, gang. Thank you.
Bob Siegel Show on KCBQ is sponsored by Bob Siegel.